Sabrina the Witch is Abir al-Zinati. She is a hip-hop artist, writer, and storyteller. Born to a Palestinian family inside the Israeli borders, Abir learned to express herself through art. Performing R&B in Arabic and English since 2000, Abir immigrated in 2007 to the United States. The hip-hop artist, Sabrina the Witch, was given the title First Lady of Palestinian R&B. Hello, Abir.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. So I wanted to start off by just asking you if you could tell us about your art form. You say on your website that you express yourself through art. So what are those manifestations?
In early age, it was street theater with all the friends. And from that, I went to college and I studied film and photography. But my real passion for art was always in music and writing. And I enjoy the craft of writing. I enjoy the craft of singing, the craft of performing. I've been doing it for over 11 years, but I only feel in the last 3 years that I've been doing it for real, because I've been practicing it every day and it became my lifestyle. It's just music and film are my life. I express myself through them because maybe of the place that I was born and the person that I was born. So there were many things to talk about. And as a growing child and later on as a teenager and as an adult, I didn't feel like I had a place that I belonged to where I could speak freely, always scared to say something wrong as an Arab, as a Palestinian, as a woman. So I dedicated all my life to the music and the art, and that's where I explain myself, basically, and understand myself.
And so what kind of messages are you trying to convey through your art? You talked about your growing up as an inspiration for this art. So what is it that you're trying to tell people through your singing, through your writing, through your photography?
I really never had an agenda, what I'm about to say in my music or my art. I was doing it, you know, because I felt like I wanted to, and I enjoyed it, and I had to. But it's funny how people, when they see you perform or they see you doing something or even just reading a poem, you have to be representing something or speaking about something. Once I understood that's how the audience see you and analyzes you. If you want to be someone with a message, obviously you can just sing stuff that has nothing to do with anything and just claim that that's your message. But my reality as a Palestinian living inside of Israel led me to speak a lot about Palestine, because over 15 and 16 years of my life, I thought I was Israeli, ended up being a Palestinian, and nobody ever told me that. And I was very worried, and I wondered why would my heritage be such a problem. From that place, some of my messages became speaking about the indigenous, whatever that means, why some names like Palestine are not supposed to be something that you're proud of or you say out loud. That's part of my message for me to be proud of who I am and for me to understand who other people are and to relate to their problems and their struggles. Because when I found out I was a Palestinian, I found out what Israel does in Palestine and what other countries that are similar to Israel do in other countries. The message expands into freedom and equality and, you know, respecting one another. In some songs, the message is kind of coming out of anger, you know, get out of our lands or stop raping our women. Or come from a place of love, you know, let's love each other and let's understand each other and let's respect one another. So the messages are always just surrounding who I am and how I want people to accept me as this person and not see me the way they do with their filters.
And I mean, as you mentioned, art in whatever form for you, hip hop and poetry and writing, but whatever form it is a way to kind of express a resistance, to express a message, or, you know, just as you said, maybe even nothing. So can you maybe talk a bit about how you find the importance of cultural resistance in this particular struggle, the Palestinian struggle for freedom?
I think that cultural resistance is more important than any other resistance because it's literally harmless and very, very useful. And it lasts for a long time and it reaches a huge amount of people without really even touching one another. I believe that I couldn't think of any other way because I'm not a warrior who would go down to the field and start fighting. But I carry my heritage and my culture and my music with me as the resistance to say I am a Palestinian, I do black music, and I love that. And I speak of my country, and I speak of the women, and I speak of people, and I love that. Once it becomes something that a group of people might hate because you speak of specific subjects, especially when it becomes political, and speaking of Israel, it's all cute until we speak of Israel or even mention that Israel is an occupying country. Then it becomes resistance. They force it on you. You just saying you're a Palestinian means to many, many people that you don't like Israel. And that's where the resistance form comes from, the cultural point of view, because it's really not so. And if you go into the culture, you see only people trying to enforce the joy of being who you are. So I resist being censored, and I resist to accept an army like the Israeli army through my music.
You've also participated in other resistance, forms of resistance. I mean, but I also can see that those are forms of also cultural resistance while you were living in Israel, for example, Future Seekers. So can you tell us a bit about maybe that project and other kinds of project you and friends and colleagues have engaged in?
When I graduated high school, as an Arab in Israel, you have nothing else to do after high school unless you're going to college. Literally, no after-school programs, nothing. Jewish kids will go and learn how to dance and how to play karate and how to draw and how to paint. And we would just sit at home, since as girls we're not really allowed to wander around, we'd sit at home doing nothing. Unless we go to college, and that's not something that is easy to be done financially and so on and on. So me and my girlfriends decided how if we just start our own thing in our hometown and bring kids into it. So we just decided that after school hours, we're going to just teach children. Really out of boredom, it ended up because we really understood the day we opened that Future Seekers Club, 60 kids arrived on the first day, and we realized many kids need help in after-school programs. So it expanded to the point where we had 300 children coming, and it was only three students teaching. But we just realized how much our city is in need for education, because public schools don't get the same treatment that private schools get, and we're not fortunate enough to be rich. So we just enjoyed giving to the city, and the city gave us back because we were not bored anymore, and we learned stuff about life and about even political stuff just from teaching children who need to be taught. And not only that, we taught them math and English and Arabic and stuff like that, we also did events where we speak to them about Palestine, something that was not done to us when we were children. We spoke with them about theater, about cinema, about music. We brought to their lives different stuff, and unfortunately the club was closed because we couldn't finance it, really.
That is in itself a resistance, right? Like you said, you didn't know that you were Palestinian. You didn't hear of this till you were older, right? So to be able to tell these kids earlier, is a form of self-affirmation and cultural discovery.
Right. Mm-hmm. And passing it on is just a responsibility, and that's another form of resistance. You don't just take your lessons and go away with it. Mm-hmm. You give it to other people, too, because that's the whole idea. If we want to resist, we all have to know what the hell is going on.
Abir, you mentioned before that you perform black music, and I'm assuming by this you mean hip hop music, but also, so I wanted to ask you a few questions around that. How we conceive of black, I think it's really amazing the way that you're using it, right? Because it often means like black skin or, you know, African American or African, but from the way I'm seeing you use it, like black as a resistance, right? And so I wanted to ask you about that, but I also wanted to ask you about hip hop music. You know, what is it about hip hop music that drew you? And also, who were your influences? Like, who were your hip hop musical influences?
As for black music, since I was a child, even gospel music, everyone around me called it black music. Anything that had to do with chanting, singing in circles, or praying for something, had this description of black, and I liked it a lot because growing up, knowing everything that's black, it's not really liked. You know what I mean? We grew up knowing that there is a white supremacy in the world, and this term black is something scary and creepy, and I liked it because I was a bad girl, so it's perfect for me. I just liked it. I liked it very much, and I started, my first influence was, I think I was 13, and I saw Lauryn Hill in a movie called Sisters Act Number 2. It was with Whoopi Goldberg. And they were in a choir, a church choir, really. But the way she sang was so pretty. It sounded, I don't know, like combining mosque prayers with Aretha Franklin. And that's something I needed in my life a lot, because growing up to be a minority and feeling always the lowest of everybody else, that everybody looks at you from up above, you really need to pray so you won't let go of the desire to live. And that's where... why I like so much black music, because the way it's sang, where it comes from, what it means, oh, I relate to that a lot. I feel like I was supposed to hear this music. I was supposed to be influenced by it. Hip-hop took all over my life. I had huge fights with my parents so I could do hip-hop. It was unbelievable how much, you know, rap and hip-hop are universally misunderstood because of the wrong TV representation, let's call it, of the music. So my parents were very, very scared of hip-hop, which made me like it even more, because their response to it, the way they responded so aggressively to it, how could you even think of doing hip-hop music? That response made me realize how big it is and what kind of an influence it has on the world. Why a specific type of music is so hated. I wanted to even explore even more into it and get to know it. And I did get to know it, and I did get in many arguments about why I like and dislike Tupac. You know what I mean? I studied hip-hop music deeply to try to understand why I'm so connected to it and what's the idea. And I think what it is very simple. You can be angry. You could just be angry openly on the beat. You could spit whatever you want. You could yell and curse and do whatever you want, and you leave the studio and people will be screaming your name. That's all legit in hip-hop music. And as a woman who had a lot to say, and I am a woman who has a lot to say, this type of music was perfect for me. Although I like many other genres, but it was perfect for me because of my situation and because of the life that I was living and because of the awareness that I had. I couldn't do just classic music, and I couldn't just do what my mom said, just do pop music, you know, love songs or friendship songs or let's dance songs. And now I write let's dance songs, but I say the truth too in it. That's hip-hop for me.
And you mentioned, and I think we should maybe expand on this a bit more, you're a woman doing hip-hop, right?
Right.
Generally, hip-hop is a genre kind of dominated by men. So can you speak to that a bit? Like, what is it like to be a woman?
Oh, darling, everything is dominated by men. Not just hip-hop music. It's funny that everybody asks me that, but hip-hop is such a male-dominated... See, what isn't? I think it's obvious in hip-hop because of the amount of men in it that you see and the women you don't. Trust me, there are as many female MCs, and they're all hidden. I'm telling you, my parents didn't want me to do it. I can imagine how many girls want to do it and have this type of... Because in general, the music is not so believable and likable and whatever it is that they feel about it. So when a woman makes it, it's even harder. And the men in the industry are let's say 70% and 80% of them are all hypocrites. So they sing for freedom in general, but I'm going to have my bitches around me. You know what I mean? So it makes it very, very hard for you to be a female hip-hop MC and listen to specific content that really puts women down. It's not the best environment for women. It's very, very dangerous. And I found out lately, because I've been producing my own album, I found out that there aren't many women producers or female producers, and if there are, nobody knows of them. If you go Google hip-hop female producers, you're gonna find articles why there aren't any. Isn't that funny? So, but, I mean, I write about it in my music, so I feel that I'm fulfilled from this. About this subject.
And I mean, you mentioned Tupac, but I'm interested. I'm curious. Who are your musical influences?
I love all soul and blues singers, from James Brown to Michael Jackson to Lauryn Hill to you know, popular names and less popular. And but I also listen a lot to Janis Joplin and Tom Waits. I love their craziness. I love their totally anti music notes. Agenda. I listen a lot to many people from the Arab world, like Ziad al-Rahbani and Fairuz and Sheikh Imam. Anybody who sounds like they did something different, even about themselves, not just about the content of the lyrics or the music, but just something about themselves where they keep changing or they keep evolving and developing in music. Because I made a decision along the years that I'm not going to use the cause to grow in music. I wanted to separate these two things because I got to a dangerous place where I noticed that people could really use the cause in order to grow in hip-hop. It's really simple because since hip-hop speaks of freedom and human rights, many people jump on that. And I try to follow musicians who spoke of freedom but from their own point of view, like Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. It's a bunch of people from all around, and it never ends because I meet many people daily. And yeah, courageous women and different men. These are my influences.
Abir, you're headlining this year's Israeli Apartheid Week, Hip Hop for Palestine, Won't Stop Till the Wall Drops, alongside MC Narsis. Let me just plug that. That's on March 6th at the Blue Moon Pub at 725 Queen Street East. You know, we're really excited for you to come to Toronto, but what does this mean for you to be headlining Israeli Apartheid Week? And also, what do you feel or what are your reactions to this Israeli Apartheid Week that has grown and grown and grown every year, and you know, just grown to so many cities across the world, and it's really more and more becoming a global movement,
which makes me very, very happy to learn that the Palestinian cause grew so largely, that so many people support today, most of them today not even Palestinians out of Palestine, support the cause and work hard for it to the point where we reach where there is a whole week of events. That's amazing. It's a huge pressure, even if people don't understand its consequences, you know, for the long term. I'm very excited because, first of all, this is the first time I'll be visiting Canada, so I'm more than just excited. And to be headlining such an event is a huge honor. I feel I'm very humble, and I can't believe that I reached such a place in my life, and to be performing with Narsi is a huge honor, and I'm very privileged, and I'm very happy you guys invited me to come, because this makes me feel like revolution is not a joke. It takes time. It might even look like it's slow, and most people tell you, what good does it do that you keep talking about? It does. It does really good, because if you noticed 5 years ago, not that many people knew even of Palestine, where it is on the map. And today we're at a place that people don't just know where Palestine is and what Palestine is. They're even helping us fight the Israeli apartheid, because this injustice needs to be clear that it's not okay. And the more people say it's not okay, maybe we'll get to a point that we will kick that wall down. Who knows? I'm hopeful. I really believe in this.
And Abir, that's about all the time we have today, unfortunately. But we're doing a long broadcast today in support and to kick off Israeli Apartheid Week. So we're really glad that you were able to join us today. Before we let you go, I'm hoping that you could plug your website where people can find out more about you, where they can purchase your music.
Thank you so much for having me and doing this conversation with me. And if people want to learn more about me and my music, if I was speaking crazily right now, you can always go to my website, www.sabrinanow.com. Sabrina is with double E. And myspace.com/SDAwitch.
Great. And is there anything you'd like to say before we wrap up?
I hope everybody comes to all of the events of the Israeli Apartheid Week. And we should all come together and scream out, yes, freedom and no occupation.
Abir, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was Abir Alzenati, also known as Sabrina the Witch. Don't forget that she will be in Toronto as part of Israeli Apartheid Week 2010. She'll be performing on Saturday, March 6th at 9 p.m. as part of Hip Hop for Palestine Won't Stop Till the Wall Drops. And that's taking place at the Blue Moon Pub, located at 725 Queen Street East at Broadview. The doors open at 9 p.m. Tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door. And you can purchase those tickets at any Israeli Apartheid Week events and also at the Toronto Ones bookstore. But do call ahead and see if they have tickets. And also you can check out toronto.apartheidweek.org for more information on the event. You are listening to Anti-Apartheid Frequencies here on CHRY 105.5 FM. اللي منعني أبينه هو نفس الجسم اللي ما بتستحق تكسبه تجبره عزقك يلتف جوا حاله عزقك برضه من كل شي بتشلحه جت تستهبلني ولا بتضحك حالة تصلح فيه وانت خربة من ساسك لراسك العقائد تتذكرها لما أنا بدي أتقدم تزد الشرف علي وانت أوسخ بني أدم صهيوني بعقال وكفية مش عارف تسيطر عاشي بحياتك غير هي جت حصرني أنا كمان باسم القضية لك لو تسألها فلسطين كلها منك متغرية لا يا حبيبي من خلقنا ومضخ العيان ولا انخلقنا الرب زلام كل الأجيان أصل لديلك ولا من لحالك يلا يلا خود لحالك الطريق النساء مش فضي لك ما تتركنيش تيش تسألني ليه بصوب فردي بين طلع جيشك من بلادي زي جهلك عن طريقي وكذبك عن حقيقتي فيك أسرك من فكري واطلع واطلع من بلادي ام اجرك عن كتافي ام ايدك عن احساسي ام ظلمك عن ولادي طلع جيشك من بلادي زي جهلك عن طريقي وكذبك عن حقيقتي فيك أسرك من فكري واطلع واطلع من بلادي اوعى تقول لي انا سبب جريمتك جريمتك لانه هيك بصبح كابوسك كابوسك قوليش حياتي بتمشي بأمرك أمرك لأنه هيك بصبح لعب انت ما تتركنيش تيجي تسألني ليه بصوب فردي بين عيني ما تتركنيش تسألني ليه بصوب فردي بين بدك تغير لي قاموس الرجولة اللي بعقلك عفن المجتمع مش بس إلك والمرأة مش ملكك واللي بده يحق لك بده يحق لغيرك اللي بده يحق لك بده يحق لغيرك تقول لي شكبري وبعدين جرب تسكر أحلامي سبتك وراي لأنه ملكش نفس تمشي قدامي حججك وزهقتها وسطك وحكيتها احتلالك جوعنا وأسلوبك بهدلنا عنفك كبرنا عمره ما خوفنا وقد ما طفيتنا رجعنا ولعنا بدربك أنا الشوق عبل ما تبدأ تشوف إنه مصيرك محدود بحرية